Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Dubwise Top Loop blueprint in Ableton Live 12 for drum and bass, and the whole point is to get movement, character, and tension without chewing up your CPU. So think of this as the little engine at the top of the track, not the kick, not the sub, not the main bass line. This is the layer that gives your loop swagger, swing, and that expensive, lived-in feel. The kind of top loop that can sit over a roller, a jungle edit, a darker dance floor tune, and just make the whole thing breathe. We're going for three things at the same time: tight groove, minimal processing, and smart automation. That means we're not trying to build a giant stack of sounds. We're building a loop where every element has a job. Open a fresh Ableton Live 12 set and set your tempo somewhere in the drum and bass zone, around 172 to 174 BPM. If you want a slightly darker or more flexible feel, 170 to 176 is totally fine. Keep the session lean. We only need three tracks to start. One for the top break, one for percussion, and one for texture or FX. Before we even load sounds, set up your return tracks. Create one return for delay and one for reverb. This is a classic workflow move, and it helps keep the session light because you're not loading a separate delay and reverb on every track. You're treating those effects like performance tools, not permanent decorations. Now let's build the main top break. Drop a classic break or break loop into Simpler on your top break track. An Amen-style break works great, but really any old-school break with nice top-end fragments will do. The key is not to keep the whole loop intact. We are mining it for useful pieces. If you're in classic mode, trim it down so you're only hearing the useful transient sections. If you prefer slice mode, that works too. Then high-pass the break with auto-filters somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. That keeps the low end out of the way so your kick and sub can stay clean and stable. Now program a simple two-bar pattern using just a few break fragments, a couple of ghost snare hits, one open hat or ride fragment, a few short hat ticks, and maybe one tiny break fill. That's enough. Seriously, don't let it turn into a full drum kit. The goal here is a top-only break edit, not a second main beat. This is where the groove starts to come alive. In drum and bass, the top loop doesn't need to be huge. It needs to be precise. It's the air and motion above the foundation that makes the whole thing feel alive. Next, let's add human feel without adding more tracks. Use velocity to create contrast. Main hits can sit around 95 to 110. Ghost notes can sit lower, around 35 to 70. Short hat ticks can be even softer, around 20 to 50. This makes the pattern breathe and keeps it from sounding like a rigid grid. If a note feels too stiff, nudge it slightly late. If you want a bit of push, place a tiny hit just before the snare. Small timing changes matter a lot in this style. You're not trying to sound sloppy. You're trying to sound like a controlled performance. If you're using Groove Pool, a subtle swing around 54 to 58% can help, but don't overdo it. In Dubwise drum and bass, the best shuffle is usually controlled, not cartoonish. You want the groove to lean, not wobble. Now add the percussion track. Keep it minimal. Think rimshot, click, shaker, small wood hit, tiny tom tick, something like that. Again, the idea is function, not pile up. One sound can handle the offbeat pressure, another can answer on beat 4 or the last 16th before the bar loops around. High pass this layer too, maybe around 250 to 500 Hz, and keep the decay short so it doesn't smear into the break. If it needs a touch more edge, a tiny amount of saturation can help, but only lightly, just enough to make it speak. Now we get to the fun part. The dub delay. Create a return track called dub delay and load echo on it. This is the heart of the Dubwise feel. Keep it tasteful. You want repeats that answer the groove, not a washed out blur that takes over the mix. A good starting point in echo is synced 1/8 dotted or 1/4 time, feedback around 20 to 40%, and filtering that cuts the low end around 200 to 400 Hz and the top end somewhere around 5 to 8 kHz. That keeps the repeats warm, clear, and in their lane. Now automate send throws instead of leaving the delay on all the time. This is a big teacher note here. Don't think of the return like a permanent effect. Think of it like a mixer ride. Send a ghost hit into the delay at the end of a phrase, let a rim shot bounce once, then pull it back. That kind of timing creates energy without clutter. You can do this by automating the send amount on specific hits, maybe pushing a throw up to minus 12 or minus 6 dB for a moment. Use it on a bar change, a fill, or a transition point. That's where the dub character really comes out. Now add your texture layer. This could be a noise burst from operator, a tiny vinyl style sample, a breathy noise hit, or a short metallic accent. Keep it very lightweight. This part is here to create tension and release across the two bar phrase. Process it with auto filter, maybe a little erosion, and optionally redux if you want some gritty digital roughness. Then automate the filter cutoff so it opens across the phrase. You might start muffled around 300 to 800 Hz and rise toward 2 to 6 kHz by the end of the bar cycle. Then let it fall back down at the next downbeat. That rising and falling motion can make a loop feel like it's breathing, even if the actual sound is very simple. And that's a huge production win, because it creates the feeling of complexity without loading the session with extra instruments. If the texture gets too wide, tighten it with utility. In drum and bass, especially when the bass is heavy, the center should stay stable. A little stereo spread is fine. Too much can make the loop feel disconnected from the foundation. Now group your three tracks into a bus called Top Loop Bus. On that bus, keep the processing light. Maybe a Q8 for a high pass if needed, usually around 120 to 180 Hz, then a gentle compressor for glue, maybe only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, and a little utility if the width needs controlling. If the top end feels harsh, check around 7 to 10 kHz for spitty hats, or around 2.5 to 5 kHz if a rim or snare click is stabbing too hard. Small EQ moves here are better than piling on more effects. This is also a good moment to remind yourself to listen in context. A top loop can sound amazing soloed and still be wrong once the kick and sub are back in. So always check the loop with the low end active. The question is not, does it sound cool on its own? The question is, does it support the track? Now let's turn this into an arrangement idea. Think in phrases, not just loops. Build variation every 4, 8, 16, or 32 bars. For example, you could start with a filtered, sparse version of the loop, then open it up a bit later, then bring in the fuller percussion, and then save a bigger delay throw for the transition into the drop. This is where automation really does the heavy lifting. You can ride the filter cutoff, send amounts to delay and reverb, even clip gain or clip start if you want subtle variation. One of the best ways to make a loop feel arranged is to let the effects perform with it. A very useful trick is to duplicate the 2-bar clip and create a variation for bar 8, 16, or 32. Move one hat slightly earlier, remove one ghost note, shorten one break slice, or automate a quick filter dip right at the end. Tiny changes like that can completely change how the loop feels without adding any extra CPU load. That's the whole beauty of this approach. You're not building a bigger loop, you're building a smarter one. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't let the top loop carry too much low end. High pass more aggressively if you need to. Second, don't stack too many transients at the same point in the bar. If three bright hits are landing on the same 16th, the groove can blur. Third, don't overdo delay feedback. Let the throws speak, then get out of the way. And fourth, don't forget phrase structure. If nothing changes every 4, 8, or 16 bars, it'll feel like a loop, not an arrangement. A couple of pro-level tips before we wrap this section up. If you want a darker edge, try a very subtle erosion layer on a hat or texture. If you want more digital grit, use redux lightly on a send or texture channel. If the loop feels too polite, a tiny saturator bump on the last beat of a phrase can give it some attitude. And if you want a grimier pocket, let the percussion sit just a hair behind the grid. Here's a quick practice challenge you can use right away. Build a 2-bar top loop using only 3 tracks. 1 break-derived top layer, 1 percussion layer, 1 texture layer. Add at least 3 ghost hits, 2 delay throws, and 1 filter automation move. Then route everything to a bus and apply only gentle glue. After that, arrange it into 8 bars with 1 variation on bar 7 or 8. When you listen back, first mute the bass and ask yourself whether the loop still feels musical. Then bring the kick and sub back in and check whether the top loop still serves the track. That's the real test. So to recap, keep the low end out of the top loop, use tight break fragments, add minimal percussion, create dub throws with echo on a return, and use automation to make everything feel alive. The goal is strong groove, clean mix decisions, and minimal CPU. If you get this blueprint right, you'll have a top loop that can work in a roller, a jungle-influenced section, a dubwise intro, or a dark drop setup, all while staying lean and easy to control. That's the move. Build less, automate more, and let the groove do the talking.